Blog Talk Radio. Good evening and welcome to Awaken Up. First, I would like to give thanks to the Creator that leads, guides, and directs us in all things. My journey has turned into an eye-opening awakening, and I am here to share that awakening with you. This podcast will explore who are we? What is the difference between a person and a son? What is our purpose? Why do we hold certain beliefs? Why do we tend to see ourselves and others in a certain way? Why do we act the way we do towards ourselves and others? And what does any of this have to do with the events we experience in our world daily? I would like to also thank every one of you for your support that you're giving me. My meetup friends, my LinkedIn connections, my Twitter friends, Facebook friends, Goodreads friends, and many more. Thank you for your emails, your text messages, and your kind words. During this podcast, I will read from my book, He Lives, The Living Testimony, second edition with added preface and edited back cover. Every 3 months, I give away three of my books through my website, www.awaken-us.org. You can click the link to enter and win. The giveaway starts this month, and the winners will be announced once a month. I am promoting a message, not just selling a book. It will be a gift that will keep on giving. And as always, I invite you to visit my website for all information on upcoming events, studies, videos, bookings, and news. The Awaken Us platform will air researchers that address our collective human experiences, both good and evil. The natural law versus man's law. Did we break the first commandment of God when we took on a false identity from birth? Do we really own anything on this earth? Do we have free will? And words, how many meanings can a word have? And what words have we learned that keeps us in bondage, slavery? Stay tuned in for all of our studies, then study to show yourself approved. Tonight on Awaken Us, I will read from my book, He Lives, A Living Testimony, second edition, with added preference and edited back cover. This month, I will be airing a pre-recorded presentation called The Confusion Programs by Servant King, presented by Marcus. Website, www.servantking.info. This presentation will reveal things you are not supposed to know, give you knowledge that is not government approved, expose things that are deliberately concealed, unmask the illusion and fraud of the deceivers, teach you how the oldest trick in the book is done, prove how you have been swindled, and who the thief is will shock you. You will be amazed by the everyday realities you practice and unbelievable discoveries hiding in plain sight. Your long-held beliefs will be shattered and replaced with confirmed knowledge. And of course, you will obtain your reward if you can renew your mind. We have all abandoned our real birthright for an abstract birth certificate. Confusion of the mind, being, voice, faith, law, things, money, and God. Again, I would like to bring some understanding about the nature of the problems so that we can go to work on solving them. We recognize many of the problems humanity face, but we do not understand the nature cause of our problems. There are root core causal factors why we are experiencing suffering in the world. We need some basic information about the nature of the problems to begin talking about the solution to these problems. These root core causal factors is about creating a positive change in your world. It's about the great work. It's about what we care about. Care is the generative principle of the heart. Knowing the true difference between right and wrong behavior. Knowing these causal factors is not just about changing yourself, but about taking action in the process of changing others. It's about being involved in the awakening process of others. You are not here just for your happiness. We are the voice of truth. Courage is a must. Seek truth and speak truth. Last but not least, waking up does not equate to perfection. The great work requires time and persistence. Never give up. Truth, love, and freedom is worth fighting for. I will continue to speak on the root causal factors of our suffering for weeks to come in order to uplift, inspire, and inform the human consciousness of us all. You can listen to all of my podcasts from my main website, awaken-us.org. Reviews and comments can be emailed to us at awakenus@yahoo.com. Hold on, I'll be right back. Dismissing myths and strongholds, one mind at a time.
For immediate release, learning our part in the Creator's plan. He Lives, a Living Testimony, has been published by Outskirts Press. Outskirts Press announces the latest version of the highly anticipated, motivational, and inspirational self-help book from Decatur, Georgia, published by writer Sharon Pelham. Mrs. Pelham's most recent book to date was revised in March 2019 with added preface and edited back cover. This revised 5x8 paperback book is available worldwide on book retailer websites such as Amazon and Barnes & Noble. The webpage at www.awakeus.org was updated simultaneously with the book's publication relaunching.
Testimony, second edition with added preface and edited back cover. These testimonies are of my walk and awakening on this earth with the Creator and His creation. Opening up my eyes and heart to the Creator has given me insight about His Spirit and who the first Son was. You must want this walk for yourself. You must ask, seek, and knock. The Creator is waiting with open arms. You must do the homework by dividing the Word of God. You will not remain the same. No man can give you the understanding that comes through the Spirit of God. The natural laws of God were given to you at birth. These rights are not created by humans, but are your birthright, endowed to you by the Creator of the universe. They are your inheritance. We were many from one, but have become one from many, a democracy. The only way out of this deception is through word of mouth, one to another. No man can serve two masters, for he will hate one and love the other. The great work is to end slavery. This should be a shared responsibility to help in awakening others. Speaking the truth unapologetically, even when we feel burdened or uncomfortable. So ask, seek, and knock. Study to show yourself approved and do not leave your salvation up to any man. The Creator does work through men, but the relationship is a vertical one, you and the Creator. Come as a son, male or female. Greater is he that is in you than the deception that is in the world. Edited back cover. What's on your mind? Let's take it to the word. Call me. Dial 516-531-9476. All callers are screened prior to airing. What is a servant king? A servant king is the birthright of every man from the moment of his first breath until his natural death. Birthright is a term not much used in our vocabulary today. Most people would equate it with some royal lineage or maybe their right to citizenship. This is our birthright that holds our inheritance, which in turn holds all of our power, property, rights, and duties, and is our single most valuable possession. Unfortunately and unwittingly, we have all been deceived into abandoning our birthright in order to assume a graven identity. This presentation does not contain Marcus' opinions or what he believes to be true, only that is really happening in our everyday lives. During Marcus' quest, he made many discoveries that are not only unbelievable, but apparently are real, true, and happening. He learned that belief is only the lack of knowledge, a poor and foolish substitute for the truth. Belief stands opposed to knowledge. The concepts explained in the presentations affects everyone, the people of every nation on earth. Some of these concepts are easy to see once they are exposed, but some are very difficult to grasp. There is a subtlety to them. Right now, these concepts are foreign and alien to your way of thinking. These concepts will require you to think like you have never thought before. Hi, my name is Marcus, and I have a story to tell you. It is a long story, and after you hear it, you will not understand it. Not due to your lack of intelligence, but because of your training. You see, the law requires that everyone receives a government-approved education. This means that we all know the same things. Ask anyone a question and you will get the same answer. But what are the things that were not approved, and why were they not approved? Have you ever stopped to think? I mean, really stopped to think without any influence? We willingly participate and get involved in so many things with no understanding of what we are doing. We do them because we are born into them or because everyone else is doing them. The law governs what we do and do not do. It governs everything. We are told no one is above the law and we must all obey the law. But what really is law and where did it come from? Is there a law that says we have to obey the law? We are all born equal under the law, so where is it? We are all told that we have free will. If that is true, maybe I will obey the law and maybe I will not. But I see people getting punished for breaking the law. So the law must be higher than free will. Maybe we should be told that we have the law instead of free will. The presentation is the result of an overconfident, arrogant force that reached too far while I was sleeping. Not only did it wake me up, but I saw them. What seemed at the time to be a terrible wrong turned out to be for me a blessing in disguise. A few years ago, I stopped to think. My thinking made me realize how little I know. My thinking made me see things I never seen before. I think you should hear what I have to say, because what I learned and discovered is truly from an original source. This perceived wrong led me on a quest, because the things I believe could not possibly be true. This quest ultimately destroyed almost everything I believed and replaced my beliefs with secure, confirmed knowledge based on facts, evidence, and proof. The reward. What you lost is restored by default. And finally, I will explain why they do this. Get ready to be rewarded.
He Lived, the Living Testimony, is 50 pages in length and is being aggressively promoted to appropriate markets with a focus in the motivational and inspirational self-help category. With U.S. wholesale distribution through Ingram and Baker & Taylor and pervasive online availability through Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and elsewhere, He Lives the Living Testimony meets consumer demand through both retail and library markets with a suggested retail price of $12.95. Additionally, He Lives the Living Testimony can be ordered by retailers or wholesalers for the maximum trade discount price set by the author in quantities of 10 or more from the Outskirts Press Direct Bookstore at www.outskirtspress.com/bookstore. For more information or to contact the author, visit www.awakeus.org.
Hi, my name is Marcus, and welcome to Servant King. The purpose of this short introduction video is to give you a gist of what the website is about. I've made a great discovery. It's something a lot of people are looking for but can't quite figure out. Now, this discovery I made was not a good discovery. In fact, it was a bad discovery. But it led to something really great. And this discovery is the greatest hoax that has ever been played on man. I call it the perfect swindle. Yes, we've all been swindled through an elaborate scheme. Now, this is not a hoax like a joke. This is a cruel hoax and deadly serious. The effects of this hoax cause almost all the pain and suffering in the world, and it is worldwide. A hoax is a trick, and its intention is to deceive you, to gain an advantage over you. And a swindle deprives you of something through deceit and is accomplished through a fraudulent scheme. What makes this hoax and swindle extremely evil is you don't even know you've been tricked or deceived. So what is this hoax? How have I been deceived? Well, here's the answer. You have been tricked into voluntarily giving up something while believing you still have it. In the end, you will learn it's really just an illusion, but does it ever work well? It works 100%. It is complete. In other words, you've been cheated out of something. Don't even know you've lost it. Now, you must admit that's a good trick. When you believe you still have it, when in fact you've lost it. To add insult to injury, it turns out you gave it up voluntarily. Now get ready for the real shocker. The thing that you gave up voluntarily, you had to steal it first. the most perfect swindle. Only the most diabolical mind could think this up and get you to do it without you even knowing. And in a moment, I will tell you what you did. First, I will tell you who I am and the reason for this introduction video. I'm just a normal, regular type of guy, born in a ready-made society, raised in our family's religion, sent to school to be educated, average right across the board, worked hard, played by the rules, as you would say. Then something happened that felt like it stripped me of all my dignity. This thing that happened was wrong, and no matter how I tried to conform my mind to the fact that it could be right, nah, it was still wrong. Nobody could help me, not a court, not a lawyer, not my member of parliament, not the prime minister, the queen, the pope, not even my mom. I just had to know how something that is wrong could be right. So I started looking. I went on a quest. As I was looking, strange events occurred. Things that would make you say, what's going on here? What's this really about? What's the big secret? Something is going on that I'm not supposed to know about. So on my quest, I discovered things that were unbelievable. But then I confirmed that these unbelievable things were actually happening. So I decided I need to expose these things in a series of presentations, for reasons which you will learn as we go on. Now, I've never done a presentation before, and how do you present things that are unbelievable? Nobody will believe it. Why? Because it's unbelievable. So I read an article on the internet about presentations. It said the two key elements of a presentation are to inform and persuade. This article said that the credibility of the speaker is more important than the information to make people believe. The problem I have with that is, how do you know the information is true? The answer is the credibility of the speaker. So if I told you I have a doctorate degree in linguistic studies, both in English and in Greek, I also have a master's degree in public law, family law, and gravitational law, and have published 4 peer-reviewed articles in the Journal of Universal Knowledge, you would probably believe what I tell you. We are trained this way. In fact, if I tell you something, you would believe it because of my credibility. Then you will go tell your friend, did you know such and such as that? You will take what you believe and you will make it what you know. But belief is the absence of knowledge. You do not need to believe what you know to be true. So if I persuade you to believe what I'm going to tell you, that would only change your belief. You still would not know anything. So I will be giving you the evidence, the facts, and the proof. No persuasion. Then you will not say, I do not believe that. You will say, I did not know that. This article on presentations also said you should have some sort of grabber. Tell them something that is shocking or that will grab their attention. Well, I think I have a few grabbers. They may grab your attention.
Hi, my name is Marcus, and welcome to Servant King. This is a confusion programs. It is called My Story. It is revealing, and it made me have to think some more. Now, I told you in the last program that I'm just a regular, ordinary type of guy living a normal life. I guess you would say I'm middle class, doing okay for myself, basically average right across the board. Now, I know I'm slightly better looking than average, but otherwise I'm just totally average. I'm a common guy, a commoner, a member of the House of Commons. Today I think I'm peculiar. Other people think I'm peculiar. But back then I was nothing special. My mom thinks I'm something special, but that's my mom. I also like to think that my wife thinks I'm something special, but I know that she's only legally required to like me because of our marriage contract. A few years ago, I'm this normal, ordinary guy competing like all of you for the Commonwealth. I had a business where I bred falcons, hawks, eagles, owls, and vultures, and sold them to people all over the world. It was a farming operation of livestock, but in my case, people think of them as wildlife animals as opposed to domestic animals. Then one day, new laws are passed, legislation, and I now need a license to keep all my birds. It's the law. Now, being dumb as a box of rocks, I react to this like I'm supposed to. Hey, this isn't right. I think I will protest. How can my government pass a public law regarding my private property? Of course, today I can think clearly and I can see things. Today I think rather than react. But I need to tell the story as it happened then. So I thought my birds were my private property. You see, I had worked hard, I contributed to society, I paid my taxes, I paid my share. And then what's left is my commission for working, my disposable income to do with as I please, at my pleasure. So instead of buying maybe a TV or a snowmobile or whatever people buy with their money, I bought falcons and hawks. I could never have a bird from the wild. There was no harvest. These are public resources. The birds in the wild are public resources, and they're vested here in Canada in what's called the Crown. And there's rules about that, and if there is any use or consumption of them, you have to pay a fee for it, and they're regulated. But I could never have any. Even the birds that were broken wing or sick or injured or couldn't survive in the wild. No, just kill them. Can't have them. I could have bred from them, made them useful, but no, can't have them. So I went and bought my own birds. So my birds are not a public resource and didn't come from the wild. Then the law changed, and I read the new law, and it goes, no, your birds are the same as the birds in the wild. My red-tailed hawk, my snowy owl, my bald eagle, no difference in the law with my birds and one flying out in the wild. So now it's against the law to have these birds. Yesterday it was legal. Today it's illegal. The law says no person shall keep any of these birds of prey in captivity, except under the authority of a license. So now I have to apply for a license to keep what I thought was my property. It's the law. Now, you can't just go get a license. You can't just say, I'd like to have a license to keep what's mine. No, no, you have to beg for it. You have to plead. You have to request. Not only that, you have to pay a fee for that. So, if I want to keep the fruits of my labor, 30 years of work, sacrifice, I have to keep, or I have to beg to keep it. I have to pay a fee to keep it. It may be approved, it may not be approved. If I don't get the license, I lose everything. I guess the owner comes and takes them. I'm not sure at this point how this works. So you see, yesterday what was right, today is only just a privilege. It's no longer right to keep birds of prey. And when I explain to you what a license is, you will understand this. This will come a little further on in the programs. Now that it is a licensed activity, I need permission to do what is illegal. Now there is a public interest in my activities and what I have. Anyone can complain about my activities now. And my facility was open to the public for demonstrations and so forth. So now anybody who doesn't know anything about birds can come in and complain. They have an interest in my birds, in my facility. And then the complaints start to come in. Once you get so many complaints coming in, founded or unfounded, we're not renewing your license. And this is how it's done. You see, if you have a beautiful facility and you spent millions and millions of dollars on the care of your animals, how people think an animal should be taken care of, then the animal's healthy. If your facility doesn't look very good, and I'm not saying my facility didn't look good, but if people start complaining about whatever, then they think your animals aren't healthy. One has nothing to do with the other. It's only public perception. So this is how you are strangled until you die. This is how things are shut down. Just to implement an outright ban and seize all your property would be too obvious. People would start to wake up to this. So it has to be done in a slow, gradual way until it seems normal. And by the way, my tax contributions, what I contributed to society, well, that's what everyone decides what they're going to do with that money. And so they would use that money for some good moral upright purpose or organizations, like studying like why a polar bear is white or how the red-headed woodpecker got its name. And somebody will do their thesis on that and get a doctorate. So that's how this is done. So now my private property is being regulated by the public. But the public doesn't come over and feed or care for my birds. No, no. Yet they have a say in all of it. Some committee in some city office. We don't like what you're doing. These are the regulations. This is how you have to do it. If I have a loss, it's not their loss, yet they have a say in all of it.
Let's continue with Mark.
So, if I cannot have these birds without asking permission and care for them as I please, then I guess I do not own them, do I? And of course, I'm still confused. I don't know how this all works. Yet, we are told about home ownership and owning your car outright after 48 payments. I did not know this at the time, but these are damn lies. Yet we believe it. So I'm thinking, this is not right, this is wrong. But heaven knows it's legal. So I was playing by the rules, and now the rules changed. Over 30 years into the game, the rules have just changed. This is cheating. You can't just change rules halfway through a game. That's not fair. Think about it. You do all this work and labor and make sacrifices, which have all become in vain because of the rules are changed. How would you feel? What would you do? And yet, you see this going on in society every single day, and people just look at it and go, oh, it's awful. He's lost everything. He's got no career anymore. What's he going to do? How's he going to survive? And no one ever realizes what the real problem is. So, you would say, you're a cheater. I think you would want to start this game over again. But this time, you know something, a secret. I won't be confused. This time I won't be deceived. This time I'm ready for you. But how do you start this game over again? In there lies the solution. But back to the story. No one can help me. What do I do? I can beg, or I can refuse to beg. My lawyer can't help me. A court can't help me. My member of parliament, my representative, my priest, prime minister, queen, pope, my mother. Nobody can help me. So one day I'm in the lawyer's office, and the lawyer tells to me, well, it's the law. The only thing you can do is lobby the government. Go and beg. You are a registered beggar, are you not? He didn't say it quite like that, but that's what he meant. And he can see that I'm trying to play lawyer. I'm trying to understand the law. I don't know anything about the law like nobody else does. I don't even know why anybody obeys something they don't understand. But so he gives me a book on property law, and here you go, you poor little dumb idiot. Go home and read that and let me do what I need to do for you. So I read it, and of course it's all gooble gunk to me. And I return it in a day or two. And while I'm in the front waiting area of this law office, a senior lawyer, he knows me and he knows what's going on, and he can see I'm upset about this. And he says something to me that's quite shocking. This is what he said. He said, you do not own anything, Marcus. Not in this country, you don't. And I thought, oh, I didn't know that. I wonder who else knows that. Now, a lot of people think they know that. A lot of people were probably told, maybe by that same lawyer. And they just walk away, like, shake their head. I don't understand that. I guess I don't own anything. And just go back to whatever they were doing. So, I would never figure that out. I'm not that smart. You see, you cannot figure out deception. This is what I told you before about deception. There is no way to do that. No one that is deceived has ever known it. This was just a stroke of luck. just pure luck. How would I know that when I was told the opposite my whole life? I was told a lie. This is a fraud. You see, it's not even that I didn't know this. It's that I was told the opposite on purpose, tricked on purpose, deliberately. That's deception, and that's a fraud, and fraud is a crime. Now, I've told, maybe 50 people since then that you don't own any property. Nobody cares. Everybody likes being a beggar. Or they go trying to, you know, hold some of their own vanity, their own whatever, and go, well, I know I don't really own anything. But it doesn't bother anybody. It doesn't even bother them who actually owns everything. So, little did I know at this time, it was just the tip of the iceberg, meaning I couldn't see the rest yet. So I start, like everybody, start writing some letters to the different government departments. So one day I get a phone call from a lawyer in the Attorney General's office. That's the king or the queen's lawyer. And I call back, and we have a little short discussion, set up a meeting, and I go down to see this fellow. When I get there, I tell him what this lawyer in town told me, the senior lawyer, that I don't own anything. I said, is that true? And he confirms it. Yeah, you don't own anything. I said, oh. I said, I don't own my socks? No. Running shoes? No. My TV? No. You don't own anything. So in fact, I do own something. What I own is nothing. That's what I own. So I ask him, we're sitting at a table in a little boardroom there, and I ask him, I said, if I don't own anything, why would I pay for anything I don't own? How could I ever have a debt for anything? And he sat there and he looked at me and paused. A good 30 seconds went by. He paused and waited. He did not know how to answer this question. This little master of confusion, he did not know how to answer that question. Finally, this is what came out of his mouth after a long pause. He said, if you had never applied for a birth certificate, you would still own your property. Now, what does that mean? I haven't a clue. So, when you apply for a birth certificate, what does that make you? Makes you a loser. Hey, loser. Loser of property, according to him. Now, what he said now, from what I know now, is that's sort of right, but not totally right. But again, he didn't know how to answer it. So, it took me well over a year just to learn that when you want to understand anything, you have to go back to the root of the thing. Where it began, the source, the cause of an effect, the origin. It sounds like a simple idea, but nobody does it. So, the word author means one who produces, creates, or brings into being. The beginner, former, or first mover of anything. Hence, the efficient cause of a thing. Somewhere, I must have authorized something to start something. So, I go to where all information for government things start. Starts with, I was born and a statement of birth was made. My parents filled out a statement of birth. I'll show you what one looks like, if you've never seen one before. You don't get your statement of birth. They have that now. They won't give it to you. But they'll give you a certificate of the statement of birth. So a lot of people, when they look at this, they think, oh, that's a statement of birth. No, that's a certificate. And what's photocopied on the certificate is the statement of birth. So the statement of birth is certified by the certificate. Okay? And so I go into the office of the Registrar General with my regular small birth certificate. And I ask him if I can see a copy of the statement of birth, of my birth. So they look at my birth certificate, see my name, and they went and got a copy. And the young guy comes over to the desk, and he's holding it like this, and he goes, here, have a look. So I hold it from the bottom, and but he's standing there, and he's not letting go of it. And I thought, that's weird. So I said, could I hold it? He goes, no. And he wouldn't let go of it. I said, why won't you let go of it? He goes, a little while ago, a lady ran out of here with one of these. And I thought, so what? It's just a stupid statement of birth, right? Somebody filled out a government form. That was the first strange thing, okay? I look over to the left, and there's four police officers standing up against the wall. This is the place where you get birth certificates, death certificates, marriage certificates. You want to change your name, fill out an application to change your name. I thought, must have been some crime committed here. Why would all these police officers be standing here? So, I ask him some questions about my birth certificate, and he doesn't really know the answers to these. He says, you have to see a commissioner. So I said I'd like to see a commissioner. So I wait for about an hour, and nobody calls me. Finally, I go have to go down the hallway, and I go through another door unmarked, and I walk in there, and it looks like a bank. There's a big front hallway to the room, and then there's a counter, and then 5-foot-high glass, and then the glass is little round holes you speak through and places where you slide in underneath, just like when you're doing deposits and withdrawals. And there's girls working at desks behind this glass. Nobody gets up to walk over to see me. So I walk towards the end of it, and I can see a room to the left, so I lightly tap on the glass there, and some lady comes out of the side room, and she looks at me, and she says, yes? I said, I would like to ask you some questions about my birth certificate. She goes, oh. And she's standing off. She won't even come up to the counter. And I said, and she says, is that your birth certificate? And I said, well, I just want to ask you questions about a birth certificate. Sir, is that your birth certificate? I said, I just want to ask you some questions about a birth certificate. Sir, is that your birth certificate? I said, yeah, it's my birth certificate. Okay, what? So I started asking her questions about the numbers, registration number, certificate number, all sorts of things about it, right? And on the front, there's a certificate number. She says, that's the certificate number. I turn it over. There's a great big red number. I said, what's that? She says, that's the certificate number. So anyways, so we're having a nice little conversation. No crosswords about anything. She just seemed hesitant, though. And so anyways, I'm looking at my birth certificate, and at the very bottom of the birth certificate, it says, I hope you can see this, it says Canadian banknote. And I thought, this must be a Canadian banknote. And what do you do with a banknote? Well, it's redeemable to bearer, I guess. So I ask her, I says, is my birth certificate, is this a Canadian banknote? She says, yes. Wow. So I thought, okay. So I take the birth certificate and I slide it underneath the glass and I said, I'd like to redeem my Canadian banknote, please. And she says to me, she says, now you can redeem it if you like, but there is no cash value. You see, after reading all the stuff on the internet and all these people out there that don't know anything about this stuff either, like I don't, I thought, wow, I've hit the jackpot. Just redeem my birth certificate, my Canadian banknote. If you believe the stuff you read on the internet, she's going to come out with a wheelbarrow full of gold coins or something, like some private account that's got all this money in there for you. But she says you can redeem it, but there is no cash value. Just as she says that, all of a sudden there's a voice right behind my head, and it says, excuse me, sir, but I've been asked to ask you to leave. So I turn around and look, and there's a police officer standing right up against me. And I look at him, and I thought, wow. So I look back, and I said, you can ask all you like. And I turned back to the glass, and the girl was gone. So I tapped on the glass again. She comes back. By now, I'm sort of flustered, and asked her a couple more questions or whatever. And then I left. As I left, the police officer standing up against the wall, I said, so you were going to throw me out of here for asking questions? No, I was just asked to ask you to leave. So I thought, what's this all about? Creepy, wow. Something strange going on here. It should tell you that whatever you're involved with here is none of your business, or you're involved in something that's none of your business. A huge revelation. Anyways, about a month later, I go back with certified statement of birth. It's the only document I had left. And I, as I walk into the same room, There's a police officer standing down the hallway a little bit. As he sees me, he backs out of another door. I thought, wow, do I have leprosy or something? This is creeping me out. So I go over to the counter again, tap on the glass, a girl comes up, and I ask her some questions about this document. She doesn't know the answer. She gets another girl. Before I know it, there's three or four girls standing around. They're not going back to their desk. They're all sort of like, why is he asking these questions? What's this? You know, they're all sort of nervous about this. So I asked him a question. I said, this paper here, I said, I can see there's a seal on here, and there's like pre-printed stuff on here, and then I can see like sort of other stuff put on here. Where does this come from? And this girl that was the most senior girl there, she says, oh, we get this form from the Bank of Canada, and we just photocopy the statement of birth on there, and then we issue it. I said, excuse me? Bank of Canada? Well, why would the Bank of Canada be interested in my birth? What did they have to do with certifying a statement of birth? Well, you should have seen her face. Anyways, from that moment onwards, it was like nervous as could be. I mean, this girl was ready to pee her pants. I'd never seen anything like it in my life. And I asked a couple more questions, and I could see they were just all over themselves. So I said, okay, well, thank you very much. And I said, could you please tell me what your name is for my record so I know who I spoke to? And she goes, no. I mean, she was ready to cry. So what's going on here? Some sort of secret? Why are they all acting so nervous? I'm telling you, I felt like I was in some sort of conspiracy movie. And this is a government office in a downtown city.
If you'd like to talk to me after the show, call in 5 minutes prior to the show ending. Dial 516-531-9476. I hoped you enjoyed tonight's podcast. My live podcast will continue next Sunday evening at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Servant King. Hi, my name is Marcus. Marcus will continue to explore our confusions of things. Mind, being, voice, face, law, things, money, and God. Again, you can always come back to listen to this podcast and all of my podcasts from my main website, awaken-us.org, under podcast/videos. Reviews and comments can be emailed to us at awakenus@yahoo.com. Also, visit my main website to purchase my book, He Lives the Living Testimony, second edition with added preference and edited back cover, and other uplifting items such as the Creator poster, the Natural Laws poster, and do enter to win a free copy of my book. Winners are named every 3 months, along with more information on upcoming shows, events, podcasts, and book signings. I will now accept any callers to the show. Dial 516-531-9476. That's 516-531-9476. Press 1 to speak with me. And do tell a friend.
greater plans, the creator's plan. Let's all rise like the day began. Reach out in touch with the Savior's hand. On rock we stand like his native land. Let the ways of love be the ways of man.